Thursday Night Football with John Giles.
Johnny Giles is a national treasure. When he speaks, I mean, I'm like, yes, yes, yes. When he's on the show, I was in the car the other day. I parked the car and I sprinted into the house and turned on the radio. I love listening to him. I love Johnny Giles.
John Giles, every Thursday at 7:30 p.m. on OTB Sports Radio, live 24/7 on the Go Loud app. The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Stephen Ward, good morning.
Good morning, how are you doing?
Very well, thanks. Let's kick this off with a general enough one, Stephen. What have your first impressions been of the Stephen Kenny era?
Listen, obviously, it's very early days. I watch both games, obviously. The lads obviously themselves are disappointed not to win the two games. But, you know, I think there's a lot of things that need to be taken into consideration, you know, from the players' point of view. It's still so early in pre-season for a lot of the lads. A lot of the lads have not played enough minutes as probably they would have liked. So, you know, their sharpness, their match fitness wouldn't be where it wants to be. And, you know, I think Stephen as manager was very unlucky in terms of how the fixtures fell. If you look at the way the Nations League games come out, you know, Ireland were the first round on the Thursday, so it gave them, you know, the least amount of time probably available to prepare the team. And when you're obviously trying to transition the team into a new format and a new style of playing, it's going to be very difficult. So I think there was obviously positives there. Obviously the way the lads kept the ball, and I think, you know, just that final part, maybe creating that sort of golden opportunity to score was probably the only difference really in the game. And that's something that will come, I think, you know, the more minutes and the more games the lads play before next month.
When we thought about a new style of play, Stephen, I guess there was probably a little bit too much focus on how we attack and the midfield and controlling the ball in possession. There's going to be some time to adjust here with a higher defensive line and essentially a new way of playing out from the back.
Yeah, it's going to take a bit of time, obviously. From the point of view of the players, I think, you know, it is a new style. We kept the ball, you know, very well at times. I think we just probably didn't penetrate as much as we would have wanted, and that'll probably be one of the disappointing aspects that we didn't create more chances. But, you know, that'll come, like I said. I think if you speak to any players that, you know, are in the middle of a pre-season, it takes time to find your feet. And, you know, lads haven't had a lot of time off. They're straight back into it and straight back into international games. So, you know, I think come next month when the players have been at their clubs, hopefully they can all stay fit and healthy and get some, you know, valuable minutes under their belt. I think that sharpness, especially in the final third, will come.
How long does it take for a new manager with new ideas to really get his style of play across at international football?
I think all the players in the squad are playing at a really high level. I think, you know, you look throughout the squad and most are playing their trade in the Premier League, which is obviously brilliant. So they're used to playing a high level of football. They'll all be, you know, good enough footballers to be able to adapt. I think, you know, some managers just want to tweak things here and there. And listen, yeah, it takes a bit of time, but, you know, I'm hoping, you know, by next month after having, you know, this week 10 days away together, it'll have sowed the seed for a few of Stephen's ideas to get across. And, I think obviously results aside, the lads will be used to how he wants to play, obviously playing out from the back. And listen, there was going to be a few teething problems. We only had a couple of days to work with the team. Obviously, the lads have played on a Saturday. So, you know, some of the players that would have played, you know, maybe 90 minutes on the Saturday wouldn't have trained till, you know, maybe the Tuesday. So, I'm sure when they look back at the games themselves, and Stephen will have learned a lot himself. Obviously, he used, players in different positions. He's had a look at a few players, and I'm sure he'll learn a lot from it as well.
Stephen, in terms of the actual difference, when Ireland don't have the ball and the style of play that Stephen Kenny is asking the team to play at the moment, can you talk to us a bit about what, from a defender's experience, that would be like? So, we've heard a lot of analysis, and there's loads in the papers today about the high line. What difference does that make for somebody like Shane Duffy or Matt Doherty when somebody in the high up the pitch gives the ball away? What difference does it make to their positioning, and what are they being asked to do now that will be different from, say, a Trapp team or a Martin O'Neill team or even a Mick McCarthy team?
I think obviously, you know, the way we want to play possession based, it's going to be more expansive. And, you know, I think in the final third, if we do give the ball away, it's going to give teams opportunities to counter on us. I think what's important is obviously, you know, we keep our shape as good as possible. Obviously, we want to play the high line. I think, you know, Darren Randolph's going to be vital for that. I think he's very comfortable, you know, sweeping behind the back four, as you've seen in moments in the game. And, you know, if you look at the best teams in the world, the way they play, obviously, you know, you look at Bayern Munich winning the Champions League, I don't think you could have seen a higher defensive line, but they obviously had that confidence in Neuer behind them. And I think our back four, you know, will have that in Darren. You know, I think the sit in the fielders are going to be very important, because obviously you don't want them to get too far ahead of the game. And I think most importantly, you know, like I said, if we can tidy up and get sharper in the final third, hopefully teams, you know, it won't break down as much, and we will be able to keep the ball in that final third for longer periods. But, yeah, listen, it's going to be different for the defenders. You know, maybe in the past we've defended a bit deeper and been, you know, a bit more difficult to break down. But, you know, when you play a bit more expansive, you're going to be liable to concede a chance here or there or maybe an opportunity. And, you know, you have to back yourself to be able to defend that. And, you know, with the likes of Duffy, Egan, you know, obviously the fullbacks, I think we've got good enough defenders to do that. And I think that just comes with the territory of how we want to play.
There's a fundamental issue there in terms of having confidence in your team to be able to take responsibility for playing that style of play and transmitting that confidence to the players. And it looked like when we were in possession, they were happy enough most of the time. You know, even in quite tight circumstances, certainly in the Bulgaria game, they were showing and they were trying to pass the ball at a difficult situations as opposed to, you know, belting it forward. And that was good to see. How long would it take for the players to get confident in the fact that they can play the high line and that they know enough about it? And are they good enough to do that? Because it seems as if certainly that's the message coming from Stephen Kenny, is that we need to have faith in ourselves as a footballing country to be able to play this way.
Well, exactly. I think, you know, a lot of people have been critical of the way we've played in the past. And, you know, obviously that way got us results, got us qualified, and you know, I suppose now, you know, the change in how we play is sort of how people have been crying out for us to play. So yeah, listen, like I said, if you look at it, the best teams in the world that play this expansive football, you know, they play with a high line. That's just how they play. They get up the pitch and they control the ball in the opposition's half, and we've got good enough players to do that in games. So, you know, there will be times where we will have to be, you know, we can't be silly with it either, I feel. And, you know, Stephen will know that himself. He's an experienced manager, and he won't want us to be, you know, silly with it. But I think, especially against teams like, you know, Bulgaria and Finland the other night, we back ourselves against teams like that, and we can afford to be a bit higher. I think when we play maybe the stronger nations, we'll have to maybe be a little bit deeper and be a bit more assured of you know, just getting that line right. It's going to take, you know, a couple of times for teams to get in, which has happened, and you know, lads will look back at it and rectify and say maybe we were a little bit high here, maybe we were too deep here. And you know, they're all clever footballers, they're all playing at a high level. You know, they'll review the games, they'll review how chances the teams had, and you know, that hopefully, like I said, they'll rectify it. And you know, Stephen will have had his time this week to work with the lads, which will be a massive benefit for him. He'll know the players better. Hopefully they'll know the system better, and I feel like they'll be in a much better position come next month when the Nations League is obviously important, but there's plenty of time to rectify these results. I think obviously next month is absolutely massive, and you know a chance for the lads to qualify, and I'm sure they'll be ready for it.
Can I just ask you about the fullbacks in this system, Stephen? There's obviously been an incentive for them to bomb on. It just seems at the moment, considering we're trying to create a bit from wide areas, that the lack of cohesion so far between the likes of Enda Stevens and Aaron Connolly is holding us back a little bit. But that is probably something you might be able to achieve over time. As a fullback, is that something you're looking to sort of build up with a player who's on the left of a front three?
Yeah, I think like you said, that'll come. It's, you know, it's probably that it's not often that the end and Aaron, for example, have played together on the same side. So, you know, I think even these two games, they will now know each other's game a little bit better. And I think one thing that this formation, Stephen, obviously likes to play wingers on the opposite side so they can come inside, and that gives a fullback's license to get forward. And that's ideally, in an ideal world, that's what they want. They want, you know, us controlling the centre of the pitch and our wide men essentially to be our fullbacks, I think. And, you know, I think when you play this system, like I said, you know, your fullbacks are bomb on. I think that the holding midfielders are going to be vital because they'll sit there and hopefully control the game with everything in front of them and also give cover either side, so our fullbacks can be a real threat.
Overall, how confident are you that Ireland are going to make that step up ahead of next month? It is an absolutely huge game. If we put in the performance that occurred over the last couple of games, Ireland are probably not going to beat Slovakia. But how confident are you personally that Ireland will be able to make that step up?
Yeah, very confident. Like I said, listen, I think, you know, these games are so early in the season. You know, haven't even played a league game yet. You know, they've been asked to go out and play at a high level of international football. You know, I've watched a lot of football over the weekend. You know, I watched Scotland, Wales, England. You know, and if you look at all the games, there wasn't many teams that were firing on all cylinders. Everyone can improve. Everyone knows it's early in pre-season. You know, it's the match fitness isn't there. So, you know, we weren't the only ones that went, you know, firing on all cylinders. So, listen, everyone's going to go back to their club. They've had, you know, a good experience all getting to know each other, getting to know the manager. You know, that's going to be vital before next month. And also, they're all going to hopefully go back, play for their clubs, you know, get that match fitness and be much sharper. And I think you'll see a completely different Ireland performance in the two games, hopefully next month.
All right, Stephen Ward, thanks a million for taking the call this morning. All right, Stephen Ward there on the line giving his take on yesterday's defeat to Finland. Up next, we're going to be joined by both Gary Breen and Kenny Cunningham for further analysis on yesterday's game. But first, here is Shane Duffy answering some questions from Nathan after yesterday's match.
Shane, would you be concerned that there's probably only two more training sessions ahead of the Slovakia game to get used to this new system, that you're going into this massive game, a European Championship qualifier, sort of a little bit untested with this system?
We'll have a month. We'll have games under our belts in the league games, and a lot of the lads will be in a better condition, better, more games under our belts, so I'm more confident that the lads coming back, and hopefully we get majority of the lads playing every week, and we come back a lot sharper, a lot quicker mentally as well. It's tiring out there when you're tired and you make the wrong decisions and stuff like that. So I'm more confident. Obviously, we'd rather more sessions and stuff, get used to the manager, but hopefully everyone gets a few more league games under the belt and we come back a lot sharper.
You know, when you're physically 100%, what it feels like out on the pitch. How far off that would you have said you were over these last couple of games?
It's been tough, obviously, very tough, and I'm just going off my own experience. I haven't played a lot of football in a year, so it's a grind, but that's where I want to be. I want to be playing out there every week, and I know it's not perfect at the minute, and I know I'm my biggest critic, so I know I've got to improve and keep going, but I've been there before, where I know what I need to do and get back to my best, and hopefully I can get that now with obviously a move. But it's different obviously mentally, as I said before, like them slight seconds for the goal tonight, and you're tired and you try and stay up instead of going with a run, so it's them little decisions.
How different is your role in this system compared to the last couple of managers? Are there different expectations on you as a centre back?
I don't know. I just go out there and try and play my game. Of course, it's a little bit different because our fullbacks want to be a lot higher, and we were 2v2 a lot tonight against our two strikers, so you got to get used to it. But I'm used to it. I know people want to say what they want to say about me, but I can defend in 1v1 situations. I've done it in the Premier League and an international level, but it's easy excuses for people to write it or say that I can't defend against 1v1 and click. But I back myself, and I don't see many players really getting the better of me. So No, it's a position of centre half. You've got to deal with quick players, as the position I'm in. I've got to deal with big spaces. I've got to deal with being on the ball, and hopefully I'm trying to get better at that.
You've obviously got a big move coming up now, and you're going to have a lot of games at club level. Do you expect to talk to Stephen over the next month? I know he was doing, say, Zoom calls over the summer and that. Do you expect to have contact before you come back in?
Well, I don't know what the manager decides. Of course, we'd like to all stay in touch. I know Keith's touched on it there, that hopefully me and John and him can have a little Zoom calls and see what we need to do better and stuff like that, and what we're comfortable with and how we can do it for, obviously, the big game against Slovakia. So we need to get it right for that.
Shane Duffy there, talking to Nathan at yesterday's press conference. It is 8:22 on this Monday morning, and we are continuing our analysis now of yesterday's game, and we are joined by Kenny Cunningham and Gary Breen. Good morning, lads. Gary, we might just start with yourself on this one. Shane Duffy there quite honest about the opportunities that Ireland have given up over the last two games, the first two games under Stephen Kenny. How concerned are you about the small signs of defensive frailty that we have been showing?
Well, it is a concern, because I think initially when Mick McCarthy got the job, in terms of how he wants his defenders to play, it's a high line. So then you're talking about the strengths of Shane Duffy, the very fact that he's been so dominant under that Martin O'Neill era in terms of defending deep on the edge of our box. He's such a man, and he's been such a presence for us. But if you're asking him then to squeeze that high line, then he's going to be slightly more vulnerable in the turn. I would put some context in it, to that these guys are nowhere near fitness. So they're going to be sluggish. That is a matter of fact. And you would hope that with more games. But the reality is that in asking these players to do that, there's going to be a lot of coaching needed. You're talking about playing Matt Doherty in that right-back position. His strengths are going forward, so he wants to be up the pitch. So that's going to create loads of space in and around Shane Duffy. The emphasis then is on that holding midfielder, that you can get out, slide across and cover that space, give your centre-halves a little bit of protection. And James McCarthy, I think, does that very well. Again, that first game, Bulgaria's nowhere near fitness, so he's going to get better at that. But it is an issue. There's no doubt about it. We've seen, for the goal for Bulgaria, we saw that Pukki chance after 8 minutes in terms of how easy basic balls really are getting in behind our back line. And just listening to Wardy there saying about the very fact you're playing a high line, you're going to give away chances. Why? Why are you going to give away chances? If you play that high line right, you shouldn't be giving away any chances. So there's a lot of work needed on it, and I'm sure it will be done.
How easy are those fixes then on that high line, Gary? And like, what are you looking at? What is the first thing you address if you're Stephen Kenny to ensure that the high line doesn't become synonymous with giving up chances?
Well, ultimately, what you, as a defender, if you're talking about centre-halves, in that high line, and you're talking about Kenny as well, who, with the greatest respect, wasn't blessed with pace, but Kenny rarely got done in behind because his body shape's right, he can read situations, you get your body on the half turn. Oh, you're laughing, but it's true. And that's what you've got to do. I think at times, in terms of the chances we've given up, Shane, listen, fitness levels again, is too square on. Then to turn your body as such a big man like him is difficult. I think John Egan looks at, has that physicality that Duffy has, but does it much better. And I think the very fact that he plays in a back five suggests at Sheffield United that he has loads of cover, but he doesn't, because those two outside centre-halves for him for Sheffield United are attacking all the time. So very often, John Egan is isolated on his own, but he recognises that, gets himself in good position, gets his body shape right. So I think it is a lot of coaching, there's no doubt about it. And I do think that decision to pick Matt Doherty ahead of Seamus Coleman was a big one. Not because I think that one is any better than the other, but I just think they're so different in terms of how they play fullback. I think Seamus Coleman narrows up very quickly as a fullback to his centre half, condenses that space. I think he's more vocal, so I think he'd be shouting in the ear of Shane Duffy all the time. But even when Mick McCarthy took over, that was, forget about the fact that Mick's not considered an expansive manager. You have to squeeze that pitch. And we saw very early on that Seamus Coleman was barking orders out to Duffy, squeeze the pitch, squeeze the pitch. And it's going to have to be a continuation of that under Kenny.
Kenny, have you seen a sign over maybe the last two games that what Shane Duffy is saying there is very much the case, that he needs to be on Zoom with John Egan? They need to build up some sort of more of a relationship here over the next little while before Slovakia next month. Did they look like, I guess, two centre-halves playing a different game over the last couple of games?
No, I don't actually agree with what Gary's saying here, but I don't think the problem is the relationship between Shane and John Egan. For me, it's a relationship between Shane Duffy and Matt Doherty, as Gary's alluded to there. And I think that's going to be a big call for Stephen going forward for the Slovakia game. For me, Slovakia game is key. And the defensive setup of the team in that particular game is going to be key to deciding who goes through. So I think Shane needs a bit of protection at the moment. He has had a wobble the past couple of games. And the solution for that isn't just necessarily for us to drop 10 yards deeper. It's a kind of a... Everybody's got to find the answer. So the relationship between the fullback's got to get better. I think that's where the argument for Shane is coming in, get stronger. Because I think the defensive side of his game is stronger than Matt's. Matt, very more productive in the opposition half the pitch. But as Gary says, Shane senses danger a bit more and narrows up better. His communication is better. You've got to be in the ear to Shane Duffy at all time, giving information, telling him when to drop, telling him when to squeeze, almost kind of pull his strings a little bit. He has to be kind of a puppeteer when you're playing as a fullback looking across the pitch. I think with Seamus' experience, he does that better. I think we can also talk about the defensive solidity of the midfield three, which hasn't been good enough over the past couple of games. It's been far too easy for opposition teams. We saw Finland in the first half of the game yesterday actually pass through our midfield three and actually get at and expose our defensive four. That's been a little bit too easy. So we need to get our defensive solidity better in that midfield area. Those midfield three really have to narrow up and start making better decisions, get more compact and make it more difficult for opposition teams really to isolate our centre-halves and to play those killer balls, which you have been doing, in behind our centre-halves and Shane Duffy in particular. So I've no real problem between the relationship between the Shane Duffy and John Egan. It's centre-half and full-back at the moment, right-back that's been the problem, but also in terms of that defensive shield in front of the back four hasn't been good enough either. We saw it yesterday. Harry Arthur played a whole midfield position yesterday. Unfortunately, Harry's not good enough defensively to play that position. But James McCarthy will come back into that position. But it's about the other two players as well, how those three players function as a unit, our possession of the football, for me, which is going to be key. So although a lot of the talk is going to be in terms of more expansive game, more possession-based game, that's I buy into that. That's going to take time. We may not see the fruits of that until next year, maybe the World Cup qualifiers. But in terms of getting a real improvement before the game against Slovakia, the work that can be done on the defensive side of the game and the days leading up to that can be absolutely key. And that's what's going to be key to beating Slovakia. Not necessarily how well we pass the ball, our possession stats, how well we defend as a group. And there's always almost an argument for me. It sounds kind of quite Neanderthal to say, but to actually put your best 10 defenders on the pitch against Slovakia. And by that, I don't mean putting 10 centre-halves on the pitch. I'm looking at those five midfielders and say, who our possession do you trust to drop into it? At times, a deep defensive shape that can actually make good decisions. And that means wingers dropping back in and that midfield three. Which five players, that blanket of five players across the pitch, can give real protection to that back four, make good decisions in terms of when to squeeze, when to drop cover space, slide across the pitch, give each other cover, keep that kind of balanced shape to the team out of possession and give ourselves an opportunity to actually break and break efficiently on the counter-attack. That's the type of game I think we actually need to see against Slovakia. That's the type of game I think we can play, we're actually quite good at, and which can actually win the game against Slovakia.
Who are those five players? You've obviously said James McCarthy's coming back in. Kenny, who else?
Well, I think for me, it's James plays. I think then there's an argument there. I would argue I'd give Jeff Hendrick. I think I'm still waiting for Jeff consistently to produce that level of performance I think he's capable of. I think he's got enough experience, Jeff. Although he's a technical player, I think he's got enough experience now operating in that midfield three to understand what's required of male possession. For me, probably Robbie Brady or potentially Jason Malumbi as a third part of that trio in midfield. Maybe too big a responsibility for Jason at this moment in time, but he has got those defensive attributes that I'm talking about. So a real lock solid midfield three, and even the wingers are important. I think Aaron's done great, has some great moments in the last couple of games, but for me I'd probably lean towards James just because of that kind of defensive mindset that he has in terms of dropping in, getting in contact with his fullback, getting a good distance between the midfielders on his inside, tracking runners, staying concentrated, and somebody who you can trust defensively. And then maybe the likes of Callum Robinson. Again, Callum O'Dowd might have to step aside. Maybe someone like Callum Robinson, potentially even Shane Long on that right-hand side. So basically five players who you can trust to sit into a solid defensive shape and actually soak up pressure and make good decisions, give that defensive shield to the back four, but also have the ability to break out and break out quickly. And we have that. We have pace down the sides. If it's James, Callum Robinson, potentially even Aaron Connolly, if he went that way. We have real pace down the flanks to actually go at teams and actually hit them on the counter-attack, which is what other teams have been doing to us. So that's the key for me. Some discussion about Shane Duffy, but we've got to help him. He's a big personality. He's a leader in the dressing room, but I wouldn't be surprised if his confidence is taking a bit of a hit. So we have to help him. Gary's right in terms about the high line. It's rubbish to talk about. Well, we have to accept this because I don't understand the correlation between playing expansive football and you've got to keep a high line all of a sudden. Well, any team who has the ball in the opposition half the pitch, they're back far or up to the halfway line. That's a given. That's any team in the world. The decision comes. The trick is when you surrender possession of the football, what decisions you make then in terms of your high line. How high do you keep the line? And when you have to drop off, make the decision to drop off into space. And that's dependent on a number of factors. Pressure on the ball, you know, position of players around you, et cetera, et cetera. They're good decisions that you have to make. Just because you want to play a possession-based team and control possession of the football doesn't necessarily mean all of a sudden you have to like go gung-ho and keep a high defensive line and take unnecessary risks in terms of your defensive positioning.
Does what you're suggesting there, Kenny, kind of point to a little bit of an antithesis to how Stephen Kenny actually approaches the game? I guess, is it realistic to expect that he will make those required changes where Ireland's 10 best defensive players are on the field of play?
No, but you know, those players I've mentioned, those five midfield players I've mentioned, it's not as if they haven't got any technical ability. You know what I mean? Very easy to put a headline up there, oh, let's get 10 donkeys on the pitch. I'm not saying that. This is international football. The players are all at the same level. They're all very talented footballers. But I'm just saying those individual attributes, those defensive attributes at the moment for me are going to be absolutely key in this Slovakia game. I think we keep a clean sheet in Slovakia, we go through, because I think we're capable of creating two or three opportunities. And again, if you look at the chances we created against Finland yesterday, lads, second half, after we went the goal down, we kind of had a bit of a purple patch. But if you have a look at the chances that we created, the Aaron Connolly first chance, a cross from Callum Robinson, just shifting onto his left foot. Good quality cross into the box, chance. The Callum Robinson chance, the 1v1, came from Matt Doherty, winning back possession, turnover, winning the ball off his man, quick counter-attack, chance, 1v1. The Dave McGoldrick chance inside the box, what did that come from? Pressure, high up the pitch, winning it off there, holding midfielder, chance. Now, none of those chances, Shane Duffy's header at the end, set piece, goal kick. All of those chances I'm talking about are best chances, which the manager was alluding to after the game, didn't come from kind of dominating possession, moving the ball across the pitch, turning the opposition out, and then working the clever little combinations and creating chances. It came from actually majority counter-attacking football. So let's not forget about that. I embrace the fact we're trying to play a different type of football. Let's not forget we can still be very effective on counter-attack and on set pieces.
Gary, it seems you go along with Kenny's idea there that those personnel changes should happen, that Seamus Coleman needs to come in beside Shane Duffy to almost be a bit more of a leader on the pitch and to almost give a helping hand vocally to that defence.
Listen, Seamus is a very good player in his own right, but I just think his attributes suit being narrowed up to Duffy more than Doherty. I think Doherty has been exceptional in the Premier League. He is redefining the role. He's absolutely superb for Wolves. But there's caveats to that because he's playing in a three. He can get up in the pitch in his own time, really, because it's not as if he's tearing up and down the wing at 100 miles an hour. He's not. Yet he always seems to be in the right place offensively and he always seems to be on cover defensively. The reason why is because you've got Neves, Moutinho, who keep the ball in midfield, allowing time to get up there. You've got Jimenez, who looks after the ball better than anyone at centre forward that we have, so it gives him time to get up there again. And if you think about if any of those creative players in midfield for Wolves don't have the ball, then those big raking passes from Connor Cody. And then out of possession, the reason he's able to get back in is because they're playing three centre-halves, so he hasn't got that much of a distance to get back to reattach with his defensive unit because Bowley's there, whatever, so he can just get in there. So that is the reason why. Now, if you're saying to me, why is he not able to produce that for Ireland? They're the reasons, because we don't have those skill sets we've just said. So it's always going to be very difficult and different, sorry. And I think it will be slightly different at Tottenham for him as well, because they don't play the back five. But I know that Mourinho has obviously brought him to play to his strength. So I'll be fascinated to see how that does play out. But I just look at the scenario, and if I look back, you probably think if he's a top-class right-back, any right-back, then it doesn't make a difference. But each relationship between each defender is different. I remember if Stephen Finnan was outside me on my right, he was very different to, say, Stephen Carr. Finney would just be, like, moving around at his own pace. Carr, he would be vocal, more in line with how Seamus Coleman is bullying around the place, getting people into position. But that is a big decision. Of course it is. But I agree with Kenny. Harry Arter, regardless of fitness, is not a holding midfielder. We've seen it so many times. He doesn't have the discipline. It was so easy for Finland just to play wide, to suck him out of position, and then just to attack the area that he'd vacated. And the emphasis then is massively on those outside central midfielders then to recognise that. And Kenny says about Robbie Brady, he's not defensive-minded one bit. I don't think he senses danger particularly well either. But I think the reason you probably give him the nod is because of his experience. He looked full of energy, certainly when he came on against Bulgaria, first half strong, second half faded badly. So these are all the things you have to bear in mind in terms of making the decision who is at starting 11 against Slovakia. Because it's a massive, massive choice.
Yeah, Gary, I just wanted to ask you that question about, you talked about how so many of our defenders and so many of our players are actually playing in systems that are designed to get the best out of them, the Sheffield United lads, and also what we've seen at Wolves with Matt Doherty. There's been no suggestion at any point that Stephen Kenny has thought about playing with that formation, which would actually allow us to have Seamus Coleman and Doherty playing. Should he at least consider this?
Well, listen, he has a philosophy and he's been consistent with it in terms of that, the kind of 4-3-3 system. I'd be concerned if he suddenly ripped up what he's always believed in to suddenly try and shoehorn players into the team. It's a straight decision for me. It always has been. You know, I said about Mick McCarthy having the decision of Gary Kelly, Steve Finn and Stephen Carr. It's in his first tenure as manager. He's just got to make these strong decisions. I think it's certainly when you think about people adapting, I think football now is very bespoke in terms of positions. I think when Kenny and I played, whenever he came from our club level, there wouldn't be massive variations to then what you had to play at international level. But it's so varied now in terms of the way people play. But look at Egan, look at Stevens. They don't have any problems. I know the very fact that they know each other well in terms of playing together. But that relationship on that left-hand side of our defence is far more comfortable, far more secure than a right-hand side, bearing in mind that Duffy is our most iconic player for Ireland. Doherty is a leading player in the Premier League. And they're having troubles adapting as such. But the key issue is there's no doubt about it. We talk about a high line. We talk about the defender's struggles as such. But the key is that positional play in front of that back four. It is so important. And Harry Arter always wants to go hunting the ball. He's too easy to move about. Not even top international size, just international size. Recognise that. Move him about with a little bit of basic play. He leaves that position. Suddenly you're attacking centrally at our defence. So that is a major worry, and that is something that the coach and Stephen Kenny has to work on.
Kenny, from the front three's perspective, the way Ireland attack, how easy is it currently to defend against this Ireland team?
Yeah, I think that area of the game can get better. I must admit, with a reasonable amount of possession first half, I never thought the last third of the pitch we really kind of hurt the Finns. They were very comfortable. Things kind of broke down for us a little bit, maybe 35 yards from goal. I think that was clear. The lads weren't particularly sure those kind of clear patterns of play in the last third of the pitch. The movement ahead of the ball wasn't quite in sync. So things kind of broke down for us a little bit. Had plenty of possession, kind of, you know, reciting the ball off our defenders, playing the ball into wide areas and the fullback. So I'm I get a little bit frustrated, to be honest with you, when I see our two number eights. So yesterday would have been Jason Malumbi and Robbie Brady. When they come into like deep positions to receive the ball and kind of almost into full back positions and kind of detach themselves from the front three. When I think of two number eights operating in those advanced positions, I think of them getting in contact and actually beyond the lone striker and actually attacking the space down the sides of opposition centre halves, really kind of penetrating opposition defences with their runs in behind. When I look at our two number eights, particularly in the game against Bulgaria, their first instinct was to come towards the ball, create kind of overloads in deep areas of the pitch, which really opposition teams are happy for you to go. They'll actually allow you to go there and have possession. But once it comes into that kill zone, like 25, 30 yards from the opposition goal, we just haven't been able to get enough of those good combinations in and around the box, you know, to get real penetration in behind and good quality crosses into the box. So although the possession's been kind of reasonable in both the two games, we probably haven't had really enough quality, enough penetration, those clever little combinations in the last third of the pitch. But that's clearly what Stephen will be working on with the staff. Those little patterns of play, those little combinations higher up the pitch. I think that bit of cohesion actually will come as we go forward. But again, we just got to be patient. That's gonna take a little bit of time.
It does seem that David McGoldrick going into the starting team will help alleviate that some bit.
Yeah, I think so. He links up play quite well, David. I think he's got to discipline himself to stay a little bit higher up the pitch, Dave McGoldrick. We've really seen a lot in play at Sheffield United. He drifts off the main striker then, the very deep area. He's not into almost full-back position, roams all over the pitch. He's quite loose, actually, his positional sense. Playing in this setup with Steven. Steven said, I think, probably a couple of times, he wants that number nine to be the real focal point of the attack, be very disciplined and keep his position higher up the pitch. So that's actually, I don't think, very natural to Dave McGoldrick, but he's experienced enough. He should be able to do. He's good touch. He can bring people into play. So you're absolutely right. That's going to be important. Who plays either side of him? Again, that's up for discussion. I think Aaron Connolly is very effective coming onto the inside, very dynamic, you know, driving into those kind of central areas. Very different to what you get from James McLean. Holds position, more comfortable holding his position wide and seeing everything on his inside. Callum Robinson, I like, to be honest with you. Yeah. Although Callum O'Dowd has had some good moments in the past couple of games, I like Callum Robinson. He moves well over the ground. He's very comfortable getting the ball on the inside on the half turn, technically good. So I think he can link up well. Those type of players can kind of link up well across the front line. But again, for me, the caveat is always, I'm always thinking, maybe it's just a little bit thing with me, just the way I am, but it's always defensively, what happens if we lose possession of the ball? How quickly can we get that defensive set up? Are we in balance? Even when we're in possession of the ball, are we in balance? If we lose possession, we can immediately get into a quick defensive shape and not leave ourselves open to counter-attack. And the game always has to be a happy balance between those things. Even when you're in possession, you've always got to be conscious, particularly international level. Me and Gary know this as well. When we played centre half, when we had possession of the football in international football, our midfielders were in possession, our wingers. Me and Gary spent the time just screaming at people in terms of organisation, getting themselves into the right positions. If potentially worst case scenario, we give away the ball, because me and him didn't want to be isolated, you know, very quickly 2v2 or 3v2 heading towards the edge of our own penalty box. We wanted good protection in front of us. We wanted good defensive cover and good balance to the team, where we could, yes, we were committing players into forward areas of the pitch, but also we were very mindful of the fact if we concede the possession, if there was a turnover, very quickly we're in good defensive positions. And that's the happy balance. Forget about kind of styles of play, philosophies. That's a base thing for me in football, which has never changed over the past couple of years. Get that happy balance right, and the teams that do invariably are the ones that are more successful.
On that, I think a lot of people are probably going to hear Kenny talking, which is spot on there, thinking this about defensive mind, it's just defending. But it's not. It's about getting into good defensive positions so you can get the ball back, so that when you lose it, the opposition can't get their head up, can't make passes, can't dictate play, that you can hunt it and get it back straight away. So you are, again, in possession of the football. And if you think about the best teams at the moment, even like Guardiola's, how good they are at forcing turnovers, winning it back, that's what we're talking about. It's not that, when we say about defensive structure, it's not a negative thought process. It's not about, oh, just get back, let's get back on the edge of our box. It's not that. It's being organised in possession so that when you do lose it, whether it's a turnover or a loose pass, which we are guilty of at the moment, that you can quickly hunt it and get that ball back.
Gary, what did you make of the opening week of the Stephen Kenny era? Kind of just coming away from the nuts and bolts of how the team needs to line out and what our defensive structure should be. What were your first impressions overall of that first week?
Well, I mean, listen, in terms of being experienced, Jerry, in terms of how it was going to go, I never felt it was going to be this free-flowing football straight away. How could it be after such a short space of time? I know a lot of people talked about Stephen Kenny revolutionising football, but it was never going to happen straight away. So I was always quite pragmatic about that. I think when I look at Stephen Kenny, I don't think he's particularly comfortable in front of the camera, but listening to what players are saying, he's comfortable where it matters in front of the players. And I think they're buying into the philosophy. At the same time, again, with my experience, very rarely when a new manager takes over do you get any players saying, oh, it's not all that, it's not really good, you know. They're always going to say it's brilliant because that's what it's about when they first come in. But I do believe them. I do believe that they believe in the journey that he's trying to take them on. I do believe it's going to take time and a lot longer than people thought because of the players we have as such, that it's not easy just like to say, well, listen, we want to play this expansive philosophy and it's going to happen overnight. I think it does need a lot of work. But for me, the peace of mind I have with this manager and coaching staff is that the work will be done on the training ground. If you remember, Jer, that was my massive frustration all along under O'Neill, is that I just couldn't see any work that's been done on a training ground, and certainly hearing the murmurings from the player suggests that there wasn't. I think there will be here. I think there wasn't under Mick, and I think there certainly will be under Kenny. So that bodes well. I think more than anything, it then gives these players a chance to show how good they are, rather than off the cuff stuff.
Sorry, go on, Ger.
Well, that's all fair enough. I think like that should be the base for that's the base level of our expectations, and then it's what layers on after that, and whether or not that is the right approach for international football, and that becomes a philosophical debate based on results over a period of time. It's a very intense start when you think that these games came at the end of the pandemic, and you know. So I was looking up the stats. Taylor, the Finnish guy, Robert Taylor, had played 16 games in the Norwegian league, and he looked like somebody who was fit and well and galloping and able to side through our defence as a result of that in our midfield. So, like, when's a fair time to say this is working, or these parts of what he's doing are working and these parts aren't? But like, when is actually a fair moment for us to analyse how Stephen Kenny is doing?
Who's that for me, Jer?
Yeah.
I think we've got to analyse it all the time. I think if we were looking at even the first two games, you'd be saying, OK, where's the patterns of play? What are they trying to achieve? Does it look like the players understand it? So we will be judging all the time. That's the nature of this job. It's not a case. No one's going to say to him, oh, you've got a year to do what you want, and we won't be analysing it, because that's just unrealistic. But I think we need to see it relatively quickly, because it's always good, Stephen Kenny saying now, listen, I knew it wasn't going to happen overnight. Well, you were quite bullish in terms of saying what was going to happen. So you can't really have it both ways. We will be looking into it. We are experienced enough to know that it does take time. But the massive difference, and certainly is you probably want to look at it and judge a bit better when the players are fit. Because to play an international game before you've played any club games is incredible. But we're in incredible time. So you have to adjust. You talked about how intense it is. Yes, of course it's going to be intense, bearing in mind what's happening in the world. And you have to kind of hit the ground running. But at the same time, this, as I said earlier, was never going to be a quick fix.
Kenny, that was the point about the playing games that came through in the press conferences yesterday. Like, if Matt Doherty gets straight in the team, which you would hope he does at Spurs, and he plays every game, and Seamus Coleman doesn't play games for Everton, you know, let's hope that he does, and there is a decision to be made. Some of these decisions are actually going to be taken in some ways out of Stephen Kenny's hands. Likewise, in the midfield, if James McCarthy plays every minute for Palace when the season restarts, great. But if Harry Hart is not playing any football, if Malumbi is on the bench, it's going to be hard for him to pick players who haven't played football over the next while.
No, I wouldn't agree with that totally, to be honest. Never bought into that. You know, you got to play players who are like fit or playing more games. It's the players which best suited to that area of the pitch for me. I think we're kidding ourselves a little bit if we think all the lads get six games under a belt, all those problems we've spoken about are going to disappear. Those things that me and Breeny have been talking about, you know what I mean, they're more fundamental than what he's just not quite fit enough, like his reaction time isn't quite quickly enough. You know, they're kind of tactical. There are tactical issues there that we're talking about in terms of how high you keep the line, kind of when you drop in, distance between fullback and centre half. I mean, that's very little to do with kind of fitness levels of the players. That's kind of decision making, you know, assessing danger and just having that almost, you know, telepathic understanding between people. So I'll be very careful saying, oh, the lads get six games under a belt. Let's forget about all those issues that we've had. They're not going to disappear. And supporting their kind of that the coaching staff recognise that, and I'm sure they will. And like Breeny, I like the work that's been done behind the scenes there. Clearly, Keith and Damien are collating a lot of information there in terms of video analysis and doing a lot of work. And the things we're talking about, they will have seen that as well. And they'll be kind of rolling out those things to the players when they next meet up, particularly the defensive side of things. They'll be sitting down with the players individually, the defensive unit, talking through those things. You know, just giving good pictures to the players in terms of, look, this has to get better, decision-making, how we defend, how compact that we are, the relationship, centre-half, full-back, centre-half, the whole midfield player, it's got to be better, distances between people, decision-making, all those things. For me, that's nothing to do with kind of fitness levels at all. That's kind of just in terms of good decision-making and kind of good defensive organisation. But I wouldn't like it to sound like me too negative, because I'm not. I actually haven't got a negative mindset this morning, because the problems that we have, for me, are pretty clear, and they can actually be rectified pretty easily. You know, if you were saying to me, are we going to be able to find this magical kind of passing game by the time the Slovakia game comes along? No. If we're dependent on that to go through against Slovakia, I'd be saying, well, forget it, it's a write-off. But for me, I can see the big upturn. If we can get the defensive side, the defensive structure the team right for that Slovakia game, I can easily envisage a situation where we can go and win that game and get ourselves to a playoff final. So that's what kind of gives me encouragement. I think we have the players to play the type of game that kind of we're actually chasing here in terms of that type of game, kind of progressive, kind of pass and expansive, et cetera, whatever you want to say. But also I have players who understand their responsibilities from a defensive point of view and actually enjoy defending and are actually quite good at it. I think we have those players within the squad, within those kind of 23 players. We just have to find the right balance and the right personnel and obviously the bit of defensive organisation and preparation that Gary's talking about in terms of the work that's needed in terms of rollout on the training pitch leading into that game. So no real negativity from me. I call it as you see it, as Gary does, in terms of what you're seeing on the football pitch. But I think improvement needs to come, particularly from the defensive structure of the team. But I think that can come quite quickly. And I think the coaches and Stephen will recognise that. And I expect to see that. I expect to see a difference in the game against Slovakia next month. And if we can tap into that, for me, we put ourselves in with a great chance of getting over the line in that particular game.
Just one last one before we wrap up. It's to you, Gary. Huge controversy in the match programme yesterday. You picked your all-time Ireland 11 and your centre-backs didn't include Kenny Cunningham. You went for Paul McGrath and Mick McCarthy. What is the reasoning for that?
Well, listen,
I'd be amazed if I even made the bench, to be honest with you.
Kenny, I've said it to you guys. Kenny's the best partner I ever had for Ireland. There's no doubt about that. But we're talking about picking an Ireland team, that iconic group where I grew up supporting. Paul McGrath is, you know, I'd argue, is one of the best centre-halves we've ever seen. Mick McCarthy gets in ahead of Mark Lawrenson, who, like for like, is probably a much better centre-half as such. But you can't really forget what Mick done in 88 and 90 as such in terms of Captain Fantastic. So that's the reason. But then you might be trying to, like, put a wedge between me and Kenny, but I'm sure, in fact, I'm positive I don't make his greatest 11 either.
Every time, Brini. Every time. Devastated.
Listen, top class Irish centre half partnership, Gary Breen, Kenny Cunningham. Thanks a million for joining us this morning.
Thanks, lads. Good luck.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.